السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين على أمور الدنيا والدين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We're continuing the tafsir explanation of the second surah, Surah Al-Baqarah. And we left off at ayah number 233. And one of the benefits of the Quran, and more specifically Surah Al-Baqarah, is it exposes you to everything that the Quran contains: morals, values, character, belief, stories of the past, but also the rules by which we live this life, the ahkam, the halal and the haram, the laws by which we should govern ourselves with. And today we are doing those ayats. Last time we were here, we were doing the ayats that were related to divorce. And we did a lot of rulings. How does a divorce happen? What are some of the rulings that happen afterwards? How many divorces can you issue? And when you issue the final divorce, what are the rulings that will take into place? When can a couple get back together, if ever? And all those rulings. And the last ayah that we did was related to if a couple divorce, if the husband issues the talaq, the divorce, and then the iddah period finishes, the waiting period finishes, but they still have the capacity to get back together because he only issued one or maybe two, and then during this time of separation, they decide that they can get back together. Sometimes family will intervene and say, no, do not get back together for whatever reason. In fact, I was told of a couple that they were having a lot of marital issues. And then they decided that they were going to separate, and they separated. And when they separated, afterwards, they had a small baby together that the couple that were married, they decided that they should get back together and that they should make it work. But it was actually their respective families that were against it. It was their respective families that were against it. No, do not get back together. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا طَلَقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ أَن يَنكِحْنَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنَهُم بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And when you have divorced a woman and then the waiting period has been fulfilled, do not prevent them to marry their former husbands again, to get back together, if they mutually agree on a reasonable basis. That particular couple, they actually realized that the issues that they had to begin with was because of their families. And sometimes that can happen, right? Allah doesn't bless everyone with good families. Sometimes, and this is for brothers, sisters, parents, remember, sometimes you are part of the problem. So the advice that you give to, if you have a daughter that is married, or you have a son that is married, or you have a sister that is married, or you have a brother that is married, you sometimes may be interfering in their marriage in a negative way without realizing it. No one wants evil for their family members ever, but sometimes you think that you know best, but you don't. So it's important that we take that into consideration as well. And in the end of the day, what we always want is to preserve homes and families. That is what's best for the children and for the people as well. طيب, we discussed a lot of things related to talaq and khula' and fasakh and all this stuff. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now speaks about an ayah that is about the taking care of the child, because children are impacted when a divorce happens. So what are the rules related to this? More particularly when they are babies, and what the babies need most, they need their mothers to breastfeed them and to suckle them, right? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَا أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَةَ. The mothers shall breastfeed their babies, their children, for 2 whole years. For those parents who desire to complete the term. So here you're learning something quite interesting, which is that how detailed our Sharia is. Allah Almighty is telling us the amount of time we should be breastfeeding the children, or the mother should breastfeed their children, which is how much? 2 years. Now, here, this ayah, well, Allah says mothers, but I want you to keep in mind the context. We were talking about what kind of mothers, what kind of people, divorcees. That's what the context is. So it's mainly talking about couples that have divorced and have a child together, what they should or shouldn't be doing. But a lot of what's in here would also some of it in here will also apply to people that are together as well. Here Allah is saying that the responsibility of the mother that has a child is to give it milk for how long? If they desire to complete the term, meaning, and this is very important, in Islam, when a child drinks from other than their mother, that person becomes their mother. What does that mean? Sometimes what would happen is, let's say there's an orphan child. The mother died in childbirth. May Allah protect our mothers. That can happen, right? And then you have a baby that needs to be adopted, fostered, whatever, right? And then another mother takes this child. Another mother takes this child. And she's not related to this child, is she? But if she breastfeeds this child, then that child becomes her child. And it will become related to the other children that she has or may have. So they actually become family. So among the ways people become family in Islam is three ways. By blood, your blood relatives, actual brothers, sisters, cousins that you share lineage and parents with. Or you sometimes become family through marriage, right? And you also become family through milk, through breastfeeding. If you suckle from the same mother, you are brother and sisters. Does that make sense? But that is only applies in the first 2 years. In what? The first 2 years. So let's say it was a child that was 2.5 years old, 3 years old, and it drank the milk of a. Usually they're eating by then, but let's just say it drank the milk for. It was breastfed by a woman. That child will never become her child. Why? Because the term for breastfeeding is how long? 2 years. طيب. Okay. وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُتِمَّ رَضَاعَ. Now we know the responsibility of the mother to her child is that she's supposed to take care of the child. The child should stay with her. Remember, there is a separation now, and the child is staying with her because she's breastfeeding the child. So the father now can't be... what is the father's responsibility in this situation? Allah says, وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ. And for the father of the child, رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. It is his responsibility to bear the cost of food and clothing. Food and clothing for who? For the child. But the child is not eating yet. So food and clothing for who? For the child, clothing, of course, and also for the mother. But he divorced the mother. Why does he still have to pay? Because she's taking care of his child. So Allah is telling us here, the father's responsibility, even after divorce, is to spend on the mother of his child as long as she is breastfeeding the child. Is that what if she, right, so now there seems to be a division of labor. So she takes care of the child, he spends on them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تُكَلَّفُ نَفْسٌ إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. No person shall have a burden laid on him greater than he or she can bear. Why is that important? Because it could be that the woman says, you need to pay me this much, and he can't afford it. Does she get to decide whatever he spends on her? No. Does he get to decide and say, you know what, I'm going to give you, I don't know, this much, and it's not enough? Who decides that? And this is a really important point in marriage, in divorce, and we mentioned this a couple of times already. When things have not been made clear in the Quran, so Allah did not say he should pay the child this much and the mother this much. That's not clear. So how much, what would this, who would decide this? Adam? It goes back to societal norms. It goes back to societal norms. So what, how much does a man spend on his baby customarily? And that would differ from person to person. Why? Because if she's from a very rich background, it could be that she is from an affluent family or area, and so is he. Or it could be that they're both from a more struggling families. Would they be giving the same amount of... So what's taken into consideration is the state of the person, right? This is very important. So Even, let's say a man and a woman got married and they didn't agree on a dowry. They didn't agree on a dowry and they got married. The marriage is sahih, but he still has to give her a dowry. How much? How much? We go back to what? Societal norms. If she is the daughter of a billionaire, if she's the daughter of a billionaire, and all of her surroundings are people that are very affluent and rich, then the type of dowry she would get would not be the same as if she was from the complete other spectrum. And that is taken into consideration in Islam. Why? Because it wouldn't make sense that someone who is from a very rich background to be given £100 as a dowry, right? And the same also wouldn't make sense. Someone, imagine a woman who got married and he's just a factory worker and I don't know, she, whatever the case is, right? So they're just making it or paycheck to paycheck kind of lifestyle. And she says, well, we didn't agree on a dowry, but I want 70K, 80K, 100K. That's what I want. But we never agreed. Yeah, but that's the kind of meher we get. That it wouldn't make sense, what? So Sharia, the actually takes into consideration, right? That's why the ulama, they used to say, if you marry a woman who, when growing up, she had maids and butlers, and then when after you marry her, she says, listen, I'm done with cooking and cleaning. I grew up in a house with maids and butlers. That's what, you have to provide that. But if she agreed that she was going to downgrade because she loves you, then you don't have to. So, but it's quite interesting that if this case was brought to a judge and she says, listen, this is how I used to live and now I'm living and I can't do this anymore. Because even psychologically, it would be a lot more difficult for that person, right? Than someone that always lived that. So Islam looks at societal norms. If the societal norms are wrong, Islam corrects it. If they're not wrong, Islam allows it and keeps it intact. Does that make sense? Tayyib. So here, how long should she be breastfeeding the child? 2 years. If they want to complete the term, meaning if they don't want to complete the term, it doesn't have to be 2 years, right? Tayyib. Then what is the responsibility of the father? Food and clothing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no one will be burdened more than they can bear. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا تضار والدة بولدها ولا مولود له بولده. This is a very important point. Allah said, no mother shall be treated unfairly on account of her child, nor a father treated unfairly on account of the child. So what happens in marriages usually, when they break apart and they're really bad, they start to use the child to harm the other person. So it could be that the mother says, you know what, forget this. I'm not giving breastfeed the child. It's your child. Let it starve. It doesn't happen often, but it can happen, especially if she's really bitter. Or he could say, pay you or you not. I'm not going to pay you anything. Go away, you and your child. Is this allowed in Islam? No. Or it could be that she says, all right, I'll take care of the child, but I want this much and this much. Something that's unreasonable. Or it could be that he says, I'll pay you, but I'll pay you £4. Or something weird like that. So what I'm trying to say is, they can both potentially harm each other. Right? This is related to the child. Or it could be, I won't let you see my child. Drop the money off, put it in, right? Send it to me, right? And I'll send you a picture every 2 months to see he's growing. Right? Refusing the father to see the child. This is something that is not allowed in Islam, right? This is not allowed in Islam. So men are not, when they separate, they're not allowed to use the child to harm each other or generally harm each other. And Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Do not forget the good that you had in between. 3 weeks ago, you were both married. Now you're enemy number one, right? This is inappropriate behavior, and we find it a lot in our societies and in our, we see it a lot. Someone comes and says, I haven't seen my child for 3 years. Why? Oh, we had a really bad divorce and now she's not letting me see my child. This is wallahi, my sisters, if you are refusing for your husband, there are always extenuating circumstances where the husband may have been abusive or whatever. But generally speaking, don't refuse your husband or your ex-husband's to see their child. It's also their child. Fear Allah in that regard. fear Allah in that regard. And often it is the mothers that have all this power, and they were like, yes, never. This is unfair to the father and unfair to the child. And the same thing goes with the brothers. Do not abandon your children just because you're angry at the person that gave birth to them. And do not be giving her less or nothing at all just because you're upset with how it happened. This is all not allowed in Islam. And Allah will ask us about our relationships. Allah will ask us about relationships, even those that have ended. And subhanAllah, just because you two are not married anymore doesn't mean there's no relationship there. You're both parenting a child together. And that means that we need to figure out how to do this in the best way possible, right? It is sad that when it shouldn't be the case that when a divorce happens and a family breaks up, that khalas, that child is over. He becomes a statistic, right? That's not fair to say. Kids that grow up in a single household or a single mother household, this happened to them, they are this in education. Why is that the case? The marriage ended, but the responsibility of the father is still there. The responsibility of the mother is still there, and they should strive for this. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying you that they cannot harm each other. Now the harm that used to happen in the past when Allah was revealing these ayats was that sometimes the woman may either refuse to nurture the child and breastfeed the child in the most appropriate way, or she would demand a lot of money or something like this. Or the husband would give a little or something along those lines. So this is not allowed in Islam. وَعَلَى الْوَارِثِ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ. So Allah established two responsibilities here. The responsibility of nurturing and feeding the child or breastfeeding the child, which is upon the mother. The responsibility of spending on the child, which is upon the father. Tayyib. What if the father passes away? Who takes that responsibility? Allah says, وَعَلَى الْوَارِثِ. And to the one who inherits the father. Let's say the father passed away, who would inherit him? Who were some of the people that would line up to inherit his wealth? Well, who comes to mind? Parents, who else? Siblings, who else? Uncles. So these people, they now become in charge of his responsibilities. Which particular responsibility they just now had? He was spending on the child and the mother of the child. So if he passes away, who does that? His family and extended family. So in other words, Allah is establishing here that that child will be taken care of. Will be taken care of. There's someone else that also inherits him. If the father dies, don't his children inherit him? And we have a baby right here that needs to be spent on. He gets a portion of the inheritance. So in that way, he's spending on who? The child is spending on himself. How is that possible? How is that possible? Well, the portion of inheritance that he gets is used to support his mother. This is also, it's interesting because in Islam, what we have is, it is very possible for a newborn baby to have financial responsibilities. How, you would say? Zakat, for example, charity. So, if a child inherits money, that child has to pay zakat. How is it going to pay zakat when it can't even walk? The guardians of that child will ensure that whatever money they inherited, the zakat is paid from. Does that make sense? طيب. فَإِنْ أَرَادَ فِصَالًا عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْهُمَا وَتَشَاورٍ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. Now, if the couple decide to do fisal, what is fisal? To wean the child off. خلاص. She said, I've been doing it for a year. I don't want to go the full term, which is how long? Can she just do that? Can she just say, khalas, I'm done. The child is strong enough. A year is enough. I don't want to do it anymore. Can she just make that decision independently? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if they want to stop feeding the child or breastfeeding the child, and by the way, it's a lot healthier. SubhanAllah, it's a lot healthier for the baby to receive milk from its mother than this artificial stuff that we buy from the shops. Now, if the mother decides this, then it has to be something that is mutual consent. Both the father and the mother have to agree. Antaradi minhuma, by mutual consent and consultation. So they have to speak to each other. Hey, you learn something else. By this time, she could be married to another man, right? So it's been a year. He divorced her a year ago. In that year, he was spending on them. By then, she got married to another man. Now he is her ex. But they have a child together that they have to communicate over. This type of communication, is it allowed? It's allowed, right? So let's say a man married a woman that was previously married. there could be times that she has to communicate to the father of her children. This type of communication is allowed, right? And as long as it's kept appropriate, this is something that I know sometimes it rubs people the wrong way. When your wife has to speak to her ex, but if it's in the if it's for the purpose of the child, then it makes perfect sense. Does that make sense? And we have to be mature about these things. Here, mutual agreement and consent. So why? Because the man is spending on her. So if she says, khalas, I'm done, the child's okay, and he can start eating. And then if they agree, there is no sin on them. Now Allah says that then, وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ أَن تَسْتَرَضِعُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ فَلَا جُنَهَا عَلَيْكُمْ. What if you decide that there's a foster mother that's going to suckle the child? If you decide that, then there's no sin. And this used to happen a lot in the past. It doesn't happen so much now anymore, but it used to happen quite often in the past, where you had people who would foster and suckle the child on behalf of the mother, for whatever reasons. And this it was if they agree that someone else will do it on their behalf, provided that the person that's doing the responsibility is being compensated. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ fear Allah. Oh, by the way, it's not something that you should rush into. Because the moment another woman suckles a child, they become what? Related. So you should think about who you want your child to be related to, right? And you know, sometimes people are not careful. What can happen is two neighbors, especially in the past, it would happen, there were cases like this. Two neighbors, they're friends, they both give birth at the same time, and they're not related. And they have children, you know, newborn baby. And then the neighbor woman, she decides, her neighbor's child is crying. So, you know what, let me just get it quiet. And she said, you know, let me give it some milk. And she's breastfeeding a child that's not hers. She does that more than 5 times. That child becomes also her child. And then there's rules that come with that. All of her other children become siblings to that child. So it's there are consequences to this, right? There are consequences to this. Could be a good thing, mashallah, now the family is a bit bigger. But it's something to keep in mind. All of a sudden, your child who had one sibling or no siblings now has 7 brothers and 7 sisters. So this could be a possibility that you have to be careful. And sometimes people didn't know these rulings, and they said, and then they found out later, and this happened during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where two people end up getting married and later found out that they were breastfed by the same woman, making them effectively what? Brother and sister. It's dangerous stuff. It's that's why it's important that we learn the fiqh. Tayyib. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Allah said, fear Allah, وَعَلَّمُوا and know أَنَّ اللَّهَ indeed Allah بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ is all seeing of what you are doing. So fear Allah and do not harm your children. Fear Allah and give your children their rights. Fear Allah and just because you two have been divorced does not mean that you can transgress upon each other. Fear Allah and fulfill your responsibility of breastfeeding the child, of nurturing the child, of taking care of the child, of spending on the child. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your relationships and your dealings, even if you have divorced each other. Indeed, Allah is aware and seeing that which you are doing. The following ayah is talking about the widow. So all this time we were talking about the divorcee and the one who divorces and the rules related to that. If we can do a recap, if a woman is divorced but they have not been intimate, they didn't the contract, and then before they even got a chance to see each other, he divorced her. How long is her iddah period? What did you say, Muhsin? She has no iddah. Very good. She has no iddah. Okay. He divorced a woman that was pregnant. How long is her iddah? Until she gives birth. He divorced a woman that wasn't pregnant, but she doesn't have a cycle. Either because she doesn't have a regular cycle. How long is her iddah period? She doesn't have a cycle. So سورة الطلاق ولا أي إسلام من المحيض من نسائكم فعدتهن ثلاثة أشهر. It's 3 months. If she has no cycle, her عدة is how long? 3 months. If he does have a cycle, how long is her عدة? 3 cycles. And there's خلاف whether that means a menstrual cycle or the cycle where she's pure. طيب. What? How? So that now you know all the different waiting periods, right? What is the waiting period if her husband dies? It's different. Now she's a widow. Everything else we were discussing was the divorcee. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يُتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ And those of you who die, وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا And leave wives behind, يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرٍ وَعَشْرًا They wait, the waiting period at the end, the mourning period and the waiting period at the end, is أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُر, 4 months, وَعَشْرًا and 10 days. 4 months and 10 days. طيب. So if a woman's husband dies, she cannot get married again for how long? For 4 months and 10 days. Unless she was pregnant. Then the rule reverts back to until she gives birth, which is quite interesting. The birth one is quite interesting because a woman who is 8.5 months pregnant, how long is her iddah roughly going to be? 2 weeks. Her iddah is going to be 2 weeks, roughly, right? A woman that is just becoming pregnant, how long is her iddah? 9 months. So pregnancy's iddah can be either really, really short or really, really long. And that is the only time a widow, if she was pregnant, then her iddah is until she gives birth. Other than that, she has to wait for 4 months and 10 days. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِذَا بَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِيمَا فَعَلْنَا فِي أَنفُسِهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ And when they fulfill their term, there's no sin on them. If they dispose of themselves just in an honorable manner, what this is talking about is, I have to give you some history here. طيب. So, in the past, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Meccans, the Quraysh, if a woman's husband dies, they would stick her in a place separate from society for a full year. So 1 year, she wouldn't interact with anyone. She wouldn't dress nice. She would be in a mourning period for a full year. Then, alhamdulillah, the Sharia came, and that was reduced. And a lot of the superstitious rules that they had was getting rid of. So a woman, what are the rulings of a woman whose husband dies? She enters into what is called ihdad, which is the mourning period. So she's given amount time to grieve. There's a hadith of Prophet ﷺ where the Prophet ﷺ said, the grieving period is 3 days. So unless it is a husband, which in case it's 4 months and 10 days. So what is a grieving period? So when you lose someone, you of course you enter into a state of sadness and sorrow and you need space and you're given this. And also, it is not a time where you're going out to have fun and party and socialize, none of that. So when a woman's husband dies, these are the following rules she has to follow. Number one, she enters into the iddah period, which is the waiting period, for 4 months and 10 days. In those 4 months and 10 days, she is not allowed to leave her house unless there is a need for it. So can she go shopping? Yes. Can she go to a hospital appointment? Yes. Can she go out and socialize? No, she doesn't socialize that time, right? So anything that is anything for a need she can, but she will not socialize or go to weddings or anything like this. For how long? For 4 months and 10 days. Anything, that's school runs, things like this, they're allowed to do, right? This is the grieving and iddah period. They're also not allowed to adorn themselves. They don't wear nice clothes or put makeup on or henna. Or the Prophet even asked, can we put on kuhl? What's kuhl called again? Is it mascara? Yeah, I don't know if it's called eyeliner or eyeshadow or mascara. There's too many things nowadays. Kuhl. But do you know what kuhl is? Right. Now, what's the actual, does anyone know the actual translation for kuhl in English? Yes, but the sisters are probably screaming right now saying it's this. Yes. So a woman came to Prophet ﷺ and asked, are we at least allowed to put that on? He said, no. For this period, you don't do that. Right? That doesn't mean that they go out of their way to look, that they're going to wear only old clothes and, you know, torn up. It doesn't mean that they go out of it just means, I remember there was a woman came to me and said, I want to attend a wedding. And her husband died maybe a month ago. And I was like, and the wedding, and I have to be extravagant. I said, no, you're in the mourning period. You shouldn't do this because you're in the Iddah period. And this is how we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like someone saying, why do we pray 4 raka'at and not 3 or 5? Sometimes Allah will ask us to do acts of worship and we do it because that's what it means to be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't add extra to this. The only thing that the woman does in her mourning period or is required of her is that she should stay in her house, meaning they're not supposed to stay over at night in other homes. So they stay in their home. There are exceptions to this. It may be that there was some case that a woman her husband may die while she is traveling. That doesn't mean that she has to stay where she's traveling. She can come back home, but then where she is, and there are exceptions. For example, if she's elderly and she needs to be with her children, she moves in with her children, that's fine. But generally speaking, you stay in your home and you follow these rules of not overly adorning yourself during this mourning period. This is called the ihdad. And also, the other very important thing is men are not allowed to propose to her. They're not allowed to approach her. Well, the husband passed away, so we're not allowed to propose to a woman whose husband divorced her. Why? Because he may take her back. So, right? But this one died. So why are you not allowed to propose? Because she's in her Iddah period. It's not allowed. And tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk about exceptions and how that works. But generally speaking, she can't be out putting herself out there. For how long? 4 months and 10 days, barakallahu feekum. So this is what it means, that once that term is fulfilled, then there is no sin on them to express themselves in this manner, to beautify themselves, of course, within the limits of the Sharia. Within the limits of the Sharia. So a woman cannot overtly beautify herself when she's going out. And there are strict rules there. But it means she's not in her mourning period anymore. Also, there's no particular color. Like, she doesn't have to wear black all the time. And there's a lot of people, they have these ideas, cultural ideas, that they will bring in. That's not the case. So I remember someone said, Sheikh, can I watch TV? Sheikh, can I read a book? Yes, these things are fine. These things are fine, right? Can I smile? Some people say, 4 months and 10 days, you're not allowed to smile, right? There's no narration for this whatsoever. Of course, someone that just lost her husband that she was with for a long time, don't expect them to smile, but at the same time, there's no restrictions on them. Does that make sense? So if we can summarize, what are the restrictions or the requirements of a woman who lost her husband and became a widow? Two things. One, can she go out for shopping and her needs? Now, this is very important. In Islam, we have three levels. There are necessities, there are needs, and there are luxuries. And this is very useful to know, right? If we say necessity, that means things that you need to survive, right? For example, do you eat pork when it's a necessity or when you need it? When it's a necessity, right? When you're starving, right? But need is different. So they're called darura and haja, and then you have kamaliyat or tahsiniyat. So when we say a woman can leave her home, not only as a necessity, but just a need. So a necessity would mean that she broke her arms and she needs to go to the hospital, it's necessary. And the ambulance came and has taken her out. No, if she needs something from the local supermarket, she can also what? Go. So that's not a necessity because she could wait for someone else to bring it to her, right? But the restrictions on her are not so strict that it's only when it's necessary. Even if she needs to go, she can go. But what is restricted is when it's luxury. Does that make sense, everyone? Yeah? So, I'll give you a few examples and you tell me which one it is. going out to traveling for leisure and tourism, what would you guys consider that as? It's a luxury, right? Now, going to Jum'ah, is that luxury? One could argue it's not. It's a need. So they're in the mourning period, which means they should stay at home as much as they can, and should definitely at night go to their home, right? But during the day they can go out and about, and sometimes they need this. You have to remember, this person that is in grieving, we're not going to cut them from society. Sometimes they need to talk to people, right? Sometimes they need to visit friends. All of this is fine, right? As long as they are coming home, and as long as they understand that this period is different than your normal life. So these 4 months, if there is a woman out there whose life in these 4 months, 10 days doesn't change at all, she's behaving the exact same as she was being before. Either she was in mourning period all the time, which is not the case, or she doesn't understand what this period is. Does that make sense, everyone? Tayyib. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wallahu bima ta'maluna khabir, and Allah is well acquainted and aware of that which you are doing. There's a lot more to say about the widow. I want to say a few things. Number one, there is a lot of reward for taking care of the widows. We as an ummah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would often put the widow and the orphan together. And there's a lot of reward of helping them financially, helping them with anything that they can, because their husbands would provide so much for them and they've passed away. There is reward in doing this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would spend time, and he would say, and there's many hadiths where he would say that the one who takes care of the widow, you all know the hadith of the one who takes care of the orphan is like this with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's another narration that mentions the widow. And then the Prophet would go out of his time to support them in their needs and help them, because it's not easy losing your husband. And it's also not with a snap of a finger that they can get another husband. Sometimes it takes time, years sometimes, for them to be in a space where they can actually look for someone. During this time, they may need the support of the community. And we as a community need to be aware of that. And there should be services out there for the widows. And that means people that they can talk to, support that they can receive. And what among the honor of this ummah is how we take care of those in need. Orphans, widows, poor people, all of this. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our sisters and our brothers, and make us among those that when they are together in harmony. And when they are separated, that they have patience. Ameen. Tayyib. So what are some of the rulings of the ahkam we covered today? We covered the ahkam of how long do we breastfeed a child for? Ideally, 2 years. Those 2 years are lunar years, not solar years. A rule to remember is that all of the timings you see in the Quran, a year, a month, is usually referring to the lunar year. Right? That's just something to remember, because 2 lunar years is a little bit less than 2 solar years. Tayyib. Can they decide to do it less? Yes, they can, as long as there's mutual consent and agreement. Allah reminds us in this ayah that even if the couple separate, that they have a responsibility to each other, and they shouldn't harm each other or use the child to harm each other. And we also mentioned that it is allowed to utilize someone other than the mother to breastfeed the child, but bear in mind the consequences of that. And then we mentioned the iddah of the woman who lost her husband, and that is 4 months and 10 days. A question that the scholars say is, why 4 months and 10 days? What is the wisdom behind 4 months? 10 days. And there are 2 answers. Some of the ulama said it's to ensure that she's not pregnant. So within 4 months and 10 days, after 4 months, the fetus is formed and the soul is blown into it, so you can tell. But other ulama said that that's not necessarily the case, because even if they were not intimate, let's say we did a marriage ceremony right now, and during the marriage ceremony, the moment the husband said, I accept, and he became her legal husband, he died. Did they consummate the marriage? They didn't. She still enters the mourning period and and the waiting period, which is going to be 4 months, 10 days. And we definitely know that she's not pregnant, inshallah. And why would she then do that? And the ulama said, this is لِتَعَبُّد. It is a pure act of worship. And in Islam, we have 2 types of commandments. Commandments where we understand the wisdoms, and commandments where we don't understand the wisdoms, and that's okay. If I were to ask you, why do we, why are we told to pray four raka'at ad-duhur? Why four? Why is duhur four, not five or three? Can anyone give me the answer? Why that number? What makes four special? Can anyone answer that question? No, we say it's a pure act of worship, and we just do it as servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will never be able to understand, at least in this world, the wisdoms behind why is duhur four, why is fajr two, why is maghrib three, why do we wash these limbs for wudu? These are called pure acts of worship. And sometimes we understand the wisdom. Zakat. What is the wisdom behind zakat? To take care of the needy and the downtrodden, and to ensure that there is some balance within society when it comes to wealth distribution. So with zakat, we can understand the wisdom. With salah, we don't understand the wisdom, meaning the particulars, the numbers. And acts of worship are of those two kinds. So a lot of the rules, for example, now, what is the wisdom behind the man spending on the woman and not vice versa? Because typically it was the man that worked. We can understand the wisdom. But sometimes we will never, so now, why 4 months and 10 days exactly? We say, this is an act of worship, لِلْتَعَبُّدْ and Allah knows best. Does that make sense, everyone? بارك الله فيكم. We conclude here, inshallah ta'ala, هذا وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. Are there any questions? حياكم الله. Adam, are you making notes? All night I thought you were texting. Subhanallah. You have to keep, you know, sometimes we forget that these phones are more than just, you know, جزاك الله خير. حياكم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.